Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Well, good evening and welcome to The Gift of Grace. This is Stephen Garchar, and my good friend Phil Gigliotti is not with us this evening. He is on vacation, but we do have with us a special guest from Catholic Renewal Ministries to tell us about the 32nd annual Charismatic Conference that's coming up this coming Friday and Saturday at Magnificat High School. His name is Eric Carpenter. He's been on the show previously. And the conference is Friday, July 18th and Saturday, July 19th at Magnificat High School in Rocky River on Hilliard Boulevard. So I want to welcome Eric Carpenter to the show. Eric?
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to be here with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great, thanks.
Well, if anybody's listened to this show for any amount of time, you've probably heard Phil and I talk about evangelization. You've heard us talk about the gifts of the Spirit. You've heard us talk about a lot of different things pertaining to the Gospels and the Bible in general, because that's what we talk about anyway. For the most part, except when we go on our little tangents. And then we'll talk about, you know, this gift of the Holy Spirit that we have both experienced. And this is what Eric is here to talk with us about this evening and about the conference that's coming up at Magnificat. So, Eric, welcome. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself for the folks that are listening who might not know who you are?
Sure. I'm here because I'm the secretary for Catholic Renewal Ministries. Catholic Renewal Ministries is an organization of the Catholic Christians. We're dedicated to the renewal of the church in the power of the Holy Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. The charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church, this is from our mission statement, is born of and sustained by the wondrous outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our day as by a new Pentecost. That was a quote from Pope John the 23rd. CRM is part of the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland within the Secretariat for Parish Life and Development. So we are a part of the Diocese of Cleveland, and we have a priest, Father Robert Franco, who is the bishop's liaison with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in our diocese. I'm the secretary for CRM, so I get to have fun answering the phone and taking messages that come in when you go to crmweb.org. That's our website. And actually, you can find details on the conference. There are a lot of details. Okay. And various other details about the Charismatic Renewal, all kinds of good material explaining the baptism of the Holy Spirit, et cetera. A little more about me. I grew up in Wisconsin in the 1950s, so I'm part of the pre-Vatican II church.
Green Bay?
Only 60 miles from Green Bay.
Oh, a
Packer backer from birth, you know. So go Pack. I attended public colleges at public university in Wisconsin in the early 1960s as an undergraduate, in the late 60s as a graduate student at UW-Madison. If some of you folks will that ring bells, and those were the wild days of the war being the Vietnam War protests. In fact, there was a bomb that was set off on the Madison campus in August of 1970, just after I left Madison to go to Racine, Wisconsin, where I taught college for a year. After doing that, I loved it, but I realized that though I wanted to work in academe, I was kind of tired from all that, you know, college and graduate school in one string of 8 years. So I got a degree in library science. And then I moved to Buffalo, New York, where I worked for the State University of New York for about 8 years. And then I came to Oberlin in 1981. Oberlin is a fascinating place. You know, Oberlin College is both a liberal arts college and a conservatory of music, very distinguished in both areas. And Oberlin actually has a very fervent Christian past. It was founded by evangelical Christians, including Charles G. Finney, who was one of the great evangelical ministers of the early to mid He died in 1875. In the 19th century, he actually was a, you might say, a pre-Pentecostal evangelical. Mm-hmm. He believed that all the Oberlin ministers should be endued with power from on high. Mm. You know, read, you know, experience Pentecost in a personal way and be empowered for evangelization. So Oberlin began that way. It also was, from its beginning, a part of the general reformist strain in American evangelical history. They believed in reforming education, admitting women and minorities, African Americans in particular, to Oberlin in the 1830s. This was revolutionary at the time. The college was abolitionist stronghold. Oberlin is very well known for that. And it was also part of education of women and things like dietary reform and fervent Christian evangelicalism. Oberlin people believed in being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. So there was even a theological doctrine called Oberlin perfectionism, which was, you know, a Protestant version of this doctrine and a wonderful thing. So I was the collection development librarian at the library at Oberlin. And in 2002, I'm a lifelong Catholic, but in 2002, I was introduced to the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, actually at a CRM, Catholic Renewal Ministries, conference. And one of the speakers who's appearing this year was actually at that conference in 2002.
Who's that?
Her name is Patty Mansfield.
Patty Mansfield. Have I heard of her?
Yes, you've heard of Patty Mansfield. I know you know Patty. Patty yes, wrote a wonderful book that I have in front of me called As By a New Pentecost.
Now, what's her now for the people that don't know, what's her relationship to all this charismatic stuff?
She has a powerful relationship to all of it.
And I don't want to jump ahead too fast.
But. No, she was, that's fine. This is the right lead in. She was present when the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church took hold. And that was a weekend at Duquesne University in February of 1967 when a group of students went on a weekend retreat, and it was a Holy Spirit-oriented retreat, and the Holy Spirit showed up to show them what how he was going to start a Pentecostal renewal in the Catholic Church. A whole group of students, including Patty, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They found themselves face down in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel, experiencing God's love in amazing ways. They started praying in tongues when they didn't have any idea what that was all about. They felt God's love just filling them to overflowing. And they, you know, as at the first Pentecost, started running out of the room telling everybody about what had happened and how good God is. So that grace has flowed through the Catholic Church ever since, across the world. Mm-hmm. And millions and millions of Catholics have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was, in fact, being experienced by many other Christian denominations way before that, 67 well years, you know, 70 years before that, in the late 19th century, 1900, when the
Azusa Street Revival,
started, and when it all started in Kansas in 1901. So a beautiful thing, and the stream of renewal flowed into the Catholic Church at that point.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you're talking, and we've talked many times through various events that we've been at, conferences we've been at, and being on the show, and, you know, this is not the charisms of the Holy Spirit are not something new that either the Catholic Church invented or the Pentecostal churches have invented it. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to, if you don't know anything about what we're talking about, I would invite you to go into the Acts of the Apostles and even into the Gospels, because Jesus says that he must ascend, he must go so that the Father can send another helper.
Right.
And that is the Holy Spirit. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, one, he came to give us the gift of salvation, that he would redeem us and reconcile us back to the Father. But then to have this life in the Spirit is that fullness of what he's talking about. And this gift of Pentecost, this gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was given at Pentecost to the church, that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide God's people until Jesus returns.
And it transformed them, didn't it? I mean,
Well, you think?
Yeah, I think.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
As Phil and I have talked many times on the show, you know, he'll reverse these sorry bunch of guys. And, you know, Peter would always put his foot in his mouth. He would say the wrong thing at the right time. And, you know, when Jesus asked him, who do people say that I am? Well, the Holy Spirit enlightens his mind to you are the Messiah.
I think we better quickly add, both as married men, that there were some women present there, too.
Yes, that's true. That's true. In the upper room. And, you know, the gift that we're talking about is that Jesus says, if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come. But if I go, the Father's going to send you another advocate that will lead you in all truth.
Amen.
And so when Pentecost happens, the Holy Spirit comes. Everybody is in Jerusalem because it's the Feast of Pentecost. So there's people from all over the countryside there, speaking all different languages, and they hear everybody praising God in their own language when this wind blows and they hear this, you know, the building shakes. And then Peter goes and gives this tremendous altar call, if you will. And there's 3,000 souls that are harvested into the kingdom of God at that time. And what's interesting is the Feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament, if you're familiar with it, or even if you don't know, is about harvest, a barley harvest, you know, and it's about bringing the harvest into the storehouse. And isn't it interesting that God, and it's not by chance, the Pentecost falls on that, I mean, the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost where the harvest is going to be brought into the storehouse of God's kingdom, the harvest of souls, which is the most important thing. And that work of evangelization starts. So, yeah, Peter's transformed all the disciples, the men and the women who were in the upper room at that point in time, the 120. Their lives are radically transformed because the tongues of fire come, they rest upon them, and they begin to speak in new languages, things that they haven't studied or learned before. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of the charisms of the gift of the Holy Spirit, is that it empowers us to proclaim the love of God and the greatness of God in ways that we ourselves wouldn't even think of beforehand.
One of the things that just continually inspires me is to think about the fact of what these apostles, disciples were like, the 120, before, perhaps even half an hour before the Holy Spirit arrived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were, by and large, poor. They were probably skilled fishermen and craftspeople with other. They were not very literate. They probably, in fact, were illiterate. I think it's probable that they couldn't read, most of them. Maybe Matthew, as a tax collector, might have been literate. But in that time and place, you know, fishermen probably couldn't even read. And, you know, within the space of minutes, Peter, probably an illiterate fisherman, comes out of there and he preaches what I call the first Pentecostal sermon,
mm-hmm.
which is a beautiful piece. As an English major, I can appreciate, you know, the rhetorical complexity, richness, and sophistication and organization of that sermon that he gives. And he goes through the whole Old Testament, pointing out, you know, how Jesus is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Mm-hmm. All these things come right out of his mouth. You know, he may have read all of these, he may not have, but he was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the most powerful way.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives this astonishing sermon that's, you know, one of the great testimonies in the whole scripture.
Right.
It's mind-blowing.
Well, you know, compared to Peter, how he was before this happened, and that's why I bring that up.
Exactly.
You know, Lord, I'll die with you. Mm-hmm. You know, he would say these things, but really didn't understand. And in all fairness to the apostles, you know, we have 2,000 years of church history.
Sure,
we've seen it evolve and come to fruition, but they didn't, and they didn't have all that, but they were walking with the Messiah. So this was a life-changing encounter and experience for them. Curtis Martin, gave a talk at Steubenville on the new evangelization. And he says, you know, the interesting account of, I think it's John's gospel, where it says, you know, it was about 4 o'clock when Andrew and James and John saw Jesus and they're at the, you know, at the Jordan with, and he says, all it says is it's 4 o'clock. Why is that important? Because that's when they encountered the Messiah. And that's when their lives changed. And really, when we encounter the risen Lord through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we encounter the love of God in a profound way, I know my life has been transformed. I know you've encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your life has been transformed. And we give witness and testimony to that. And that's, you know, that's really what this conference is about.
Absolutely so. I was a different person when I walked out of that conference than I was when I walked in. And I didn't realize how much different until, you know, a couple 3 weeks later. But, you know, I'm a librarian. I love to read, and I've always been, you know, it was natural for me since I've loved books and reading since I was a small child. And, Patty Mansfield's book called As by a New Pentecost was being sold at the conference. And I bought this book and I, began to discover the truth of everything you've been saying, Stephen. You know, that God loves us so much that when we turn ourselves over to Him, when we yield to His power in our lives and His authority, and you know, start to repent of the things that keep us from God, and beg Him to, you know, draw us closer to Him and start to use us for His own purposes, which mm-hmm. we may not understand, He'll do amazing things, and He can change you. And I know when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was a lifelong Catholic, but one who thought that salvation depended on somehow on my efforts. And I was exhausted trying to over and over again to live what I thought was a Christian life on my own initiative. And I was falling on my face constantly. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted from a kind of a high powered life in an institution for gifted and talented people. And, one where, you know, excellence is demanded all the time. I was worn out. And on my ride home from North Canton back to Overland, it's about an hour and a half, I felt the amazing power of God just gently letting me know that I'd given myself to Him and that He was with me and that life was good, you know, that it sounds so trite, but the feeling I had was everything's okay. You're in my hands now, the Lord was saying, and you're going to be. And, you know, doesn't this feel good? Well, this is how it's going to be from now on. And I got to say, 12 years later, that's essentially been true. Mm-hmm. I've never gone back totally to the way I felt about the level of anxiety and burnout and stress that I felt before that. So it's a transformation. It's amazing.
Well, you know what? We're going to take a break. And actually, for this segment, I'm going to play a song. One of the songs you might hear at the conference. I usually don't do this too often on the show, but, we're going to take a break. And this song is called Great Things. It's by Matt Maurer. And it goes like this.
My soul proclaims your greatness, Lord. Rejoicing in my Savior, your mercy belongs to those who fear your Son. His blessing you have given them forever, and holy is His name. Savior. blessing you have given them forever. And holy is his name. Holy is his name. You alone have done great things. I can't boast of anything. Mighty one and King of kings, Jesus. And you alone have done. Shouting out loud, it's your name we're shouting out loud. It's your name we're shouting out, you alone have done great things. I can boast of anything, mighty one and King of kings, Jesus. And you alone have done great things, by your living word.
Well, we're back on The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word, and this is Stephen Garchar. My good friend Phil Giliotti is on vacation this week, and we have in the studio with us Eric Carpenter. And that song you just heard was Great Things by Matt Maurer. It might be one of the songs we might sing at the 32nd Annual Cleveland Charismatic Conference at Magnificat High School on Hilliard Boulevard in Rocky River on Friday, July 18th and Saturday, July 19th. And Eric, do you want to give some details to the people listening about the conference, how they can register and what the cost is?
Sure. We might say first that the conference begins on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:15, and it will last until 9:30 p.m. that night. And the next day, Saturday the 19th, it begins at 8:30 a.m. with the doors open at 7:45, and it goes till 9:30. On Saturday, we will have Saturday morning prayer with Bishop Lennon. We will have praise and worship with Stephen Garchar and Denny Carlton leading praise and worship. We'll have some dynamic teaching, and we have some wonderful speakers. Patty Mansfield, I mentioned, a leader in the charismatic renewal since its founding in 1967. We have Deacon Ralph Poyo, P-O-Y-O, a founder of New Evangelization Ministries, which is a group that seeks to assist pastors in training parish leadership for evangelization. He has 30 years of experience in parish ministry, and he's a very popular conference speaker and who appeals in a passionate, humorous, and playful way to adult and teen audiences all across the country. He's a wonderful speaker. I've heard him before. Bishop Lennon will lead our own Bishop Lennon will lead morning prayer on Saturday, and then we have another speaker who is a local woman. Her name is Michelle Tipas Harrison, and she's from the Akron area. Is involved at St. Hilary's Parish, and she has been involved in charismatic renewal since she attended a Steubenville Franciscan University at Steubenville Youth Conference. She went to Notre Dame. Got involved in a life and spirit retreat and, experienced that life-changing baptism in the Holy Spirit that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. She began her ministry after that, and she is at this point a busy homeschooling mom with four children, and she very much likes giving presentations. She has a particular appeal to younger Catholics involved in raising families, and she especially enjoys talking about how to raise pure children in an impure culture. This is something that will, I think, appeal to many, many listeners of this program. We all have to grapple with that, especially people who are still raising in the child-rearing years. Father Robert Franco, our bishop's liaison, will also will give talks. There will be a reconciliation available, a sacrament of a penance on Saturday, and then there will be a Sunday vigil, a Mass, a Eucharist celebrated on Saturday that will satisfy the Sunday Mass obligation. You can register for the conference at the CRM website, which is www.crmweb.org. And you can also register at the door, where the cost of registration on those 2 days will be $35 a person. And if anyone has difficulty paying that registration fee, they should just come and talk with Joe or Sue Palmieri, P-A-L-M-I-E-R-I. These are my very close friends. And they can be reached at 440-774-1191 for more details about the conference or to register on the phone. You could do that from any time now. The program is going to be airing on the 12th. Of July until the 18th or 19th, and they will be at the conference to take registrations. So that's some of the details about it.
Okay. So we have Patty Mansfield, who's going to be a speaker, and she was at Duquesne University in 1967.
Right.
And I know she has a book as by a First Pentecost.
Right.
And I've heard her speak several times. Phil knows her, and you know her. We both know Father Franco.
Right.
Phil knows him, too, so... I've not seen Deacon Ralph Poyo yet, and I know Michelle was at the conference last year, and Bishop Lennon has been there. And it's a very prayerful time, but it's also a very, there's teachings.
There's going to be workshops too, I should mention.
As well.
Patty Mansfield, Deacon Ralph Poyo, and Michelle Harrison are all going to give workshops on Saturday afternoon addressing practical aspects of, mm-hmm. Life and charismatic renewal, of spiritual growth and development. And Michelle, I believe, is going to talk about some nitty-gritty issues in raising children in a Christian children in a pagan world. Mm-hmm. So that ought to be of great interest to a lot of folks who are grappling with all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, our world has changed a lot, and it continually changes. And, you know, Scripture tells us, you know, Satan's prowling like a lion, waiting to devour your soul. And Jesus tells us, you know, the evil one comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to feed you a lie. He wants you to take the bait. He's not going to tell you a full-out lie. There's going to be a kernel of truth in it. But it's always going to be, you know, that kernel of truth is always going to be, or that, I should say, that truth is always wrapped around this lie that he's trying to tell you. And he gets you to believe, and it's the same tactic he used with Eve in the garden. It's the same tactic. God really didn't say that, did he? Eve, come on. And it's nothing new. It's just repackaged. And we always have to, you know, battle against this. No matter how long you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, how long you've been walking with the Lord. It's a walk. It's not a sprint. It's not a race. It's a walk. It's a journey. It's a pilgrimage, really. And we want to finish the race, as St. Paul says, you know, and we want to do what God's asking us to do. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that.
Particularly helps us with spiritual warfare, right? Which, you know, characterizes our daily lives. Struggles mm-hmm. against our own weaknesses and sins, struggles against all that evil we see out there in right. the world, the hatred, the materialism, you know, all of the things that keep us from the Lord God.
Right. And every one of us, you know, every one of us has an Achilles heel, and Satan knows it, and he will attack you. He will try and nail you
Amen.
In that Achilles heel area and beat you down and get you discouraged. And see, once he has you discouraged and you lose all hopefulness, well, you're done, basically. But the Spirit's there as our advocate. So that, and Jesus is interceding for us, we have to call upon the name of the Lord. And I don't want to get too far into, the spiritual warfare end of it, but it's a real battle, and it's a real struggle that people face, no matter how long they've been in the renewal, no longer how long they've been walking with the Lord. I think if people are honest, there's high points and there's low points. And when there are high points, you got to praise God. When there's low points, you've got to praise God. You've got to call on the Lord. You know, just as much as you do when there's the high points, because God is our rock. He's our salvation. And the Spirit enables us to cry out, Daddy, Abba Father, and call upon the Lord. And when we call upon God, You know, he's not off on some cosmic distant, you know, long distance phone call to somebody else going, is that Steve calling again? Oh, jeez. You know, he just called me like 2 minutes ago. What's going on now? You know, he's there to help us. He's there to come to our aid and assist us. And part of this conference is to, you know, lift people's spirits up in the presence of the Lord and enable them to go back out refreshed, renewed, and continue the work of evangelization.
I want to say a little word, I think, too, especially to people who are, may have been lifelong or are lifelong Catholics, and people who have felt that their faith is a matter of their head rather than of experiencing it in their mm-hmm. heart and in their emotions. I think this is perhaps true, more true, maybe more true for men than women, although I'm not sure about that. But the point is that, you know, for a lot of people, faith is a head thing. You know, mm-hmm. it certainly was for me. Right. I reached the age of 58 before I discovered through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that, you know, God touches hearts, and he's to be found in hearts and experience there and in you know, inmost being. And actually, head has far less to do with it than I thought it did. I suppose living an academic life, you know, made it even more difficult for me in that area. But, you know, I learned a lot about, Jesus, and his, admonition to be meek and humble of heart. You know, how Jesus loves the small and the weak and the mm-hmm. meek. And he humbles the proud. I've learned an awful lot about that because I worked in a place with an awful lot of proud people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't, of course, confined to academia. You can find that in every workplace. But Jesus calls us to be meek and humble of heart. And if we come to him and ask him to start teaching us about that, boy, he's going to do it in the most beautiful way. That certainly was part of my story.
Yeah. Well, you know, you as you're talking, one thing that I think of is that in our culture, not just in academia, but in our culture, we're programmed to strive and arrive.
Amen.
We do that constantly we're brought up in school. You want to achieve good grades. You want to get into high school, or get into college, I should say. Most high schools will take you. You want to get into a good college. You want to have good grades. So you're striving and arriving, striving and arriving. You want to get a good job. You're striving and arriving. And not that you shouldn't be responsible with your studies or with work. You have to do that. That's being a good steward. But in the life of faith, it's not so much that way, because the gift that God gives us or offers to us is a free gift. We can't earn it. We can't buy it from him. He gives it to us, you know.
And he wants us to let go and accept it.
Exactly.
On his terms, not our terms.
You know, the basic message of the gospel is, Steve, there is forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, my son. Do you want to receive that? And all I have to do is say, yes, I receive that. And I ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Now, that's really the easy part. now I got to walk daily with him. And say, okay, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life.
Today.
Show me any areas of my life that I hold on to that don't honor you, that don't magnify your name, that don't give you glory and honor.
I've often heard it said that one of the prayers that God always answers is the prayer, Lord, show me what's wrong with me. From your point of view, if you've never tried that prayer, try it. You will be amazed at what happens, and don't be afraid of it, because the Lord will do that in a gentle way. So that, you know, I heard one of our speakers at a previous renewal event that I attended. I'll leave his name out, but he was a high achieving. He was a general manager in a Cleveland area factory. And he said that he, you know, had been a rather prideful guy. And he said he prayed that prayer once, you know, Lord, show me what's wrong with me. And he said for about an hour and a half, the Lord showed him a movie in his head of his entire life. He said it was just like a movie. And he said he played this thing, and he said, every sin I ever committed was shown to me.
Wow.
you know, and it just, it was the beginning of his, you know, conversion experience, and it was an astonishing experience. So that is an amazing prayer.
Well, the Holy Spirit is the advocate, and the Holy Spirit will show us areas of our lives that we really need to give over to the Lord so that God can clean us up and make us his, you know, we're his children, but we need to put on the mind of Christ. We need to put on the armor of God. And we can't do that if we're, you know, always playing in the wrong sandbox, you know, so to speak. And we're called to be holy as God is holy. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Absolutely.
And I can't do that on my own accord. I need the help and the grace of the Holy Spirit, but I have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And so this gift of the Holy Spirit that God has poured forth, and not just in our time, but from the time where Jesus ascended into heaven, God continues to pour forth this gift because his promises are eternal. His covenant is eternal. And I think one of the things that, you know, the title of the conference this year is Gifted to Serve. And we are gifted by God to go out and serve others. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. You know, when Jesus went to wash the feet of his disciples, our friend Peter, oh no, Lord, no, you're not going to wash my feet. If I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no inheritance with me. Think about that. If I don't wash your feet, you have no inheritance. What kind of inheritance is Jesus talking about to Peter? The riches of the kingdom, the fullness of the kingdom, of being with the Messiah. You know, so are we willing to let the Lord wash our feet? Are we willing to let the Holy Spirit wash us and cleanse us of the things that don't belong to God, that we want to hold on to, that I want to hold on to, and say, Lord, take it. It's rubbish. You know, and that empowerment of the Holy Spirit will give you the grace to serve.
And the gifts, the charismatic and the gifts that serves. Need to serve.
Yeah. You can't build a house on your own. God has to be the master carpenter, you know, because if you're trying to do it yourself, it's not going to go too well. So, you know, as you're talking about being in an environment of being, you know, in striving and arriving, and that's in our culture, I think it's a byproduct of our culture where we think we need to work to earn things. In our life of faith, it's just the opposite. We need to surrender and let the Lord be the Lord of our life and take over. You know, he still gives us a brain to think, and he'll have us use that. But if we want direction and clarity, if we pray that prayer, Lord, show me what's wrong with my life, or show me, you know, my life from your perspective, God will do it in a very gentle way. He's going to show you the truth. But he's always going to invite you to reconciliation with him. And, you know, we talked about spiritual warfare a few minutes ago. God's not going to condemn you. He's always going to draw you back like the prodigal son. He's going to show you. He's going to invite you back. The devil says, look what you did. He'll never take you back. God says, no, you're my son. You're my daughter. My son paid the price for you. He paid the debt for your sins, and I want you back. And that's really what God's love is all about. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Shall we talk a little bit about the charismatic renewal, or, you know, the startings of it, or the movement of it back in the 1900s and when it hit the shores of the...
Sure. The modern Pentecostal movement began in the U.S. in 1900. This actually took place in Kansas when a group of Christians began studying the Acts of the Apostles, and they began to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit includes the charismatic gifts, those that are spoken of in is it 1st or 2nd Corinthians? I forget. It's chapters 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians, yeah.
11, 12, and 13. And then I believe there's also gifts mentioned in the book, in Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, too. But those gifts are the gifts that are given, given for service, as the title of our conference is, Gifted to Serve.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, those gifts were given, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of healing were given to the charismatic renewal in the earliest days when it took place in among what came to be known as Pentecostal Christians. And there was a huge, wonderful revival that began at Azusa Street in Los Angeles in 1906,
mm-hmm.
Shortly, actually before the great earthquake of that took place in San Francisco at about that time.
Right.
A kind of an interesting juxtaposition of events, you know.
Yeah.
But there was, you know, the whole Pentecostal renewal that began then really created a kind of an earthquake in the Christian church, especially in America, because the whole group of Pentecostal denominations, the Assemblies of God, the Churches of God in Christ, et cetera, you know, really had their beginnings at about that time. I do want to add to that that our own Pope Francis has he recently addressed a large meeting, 50,000 Italian charismatic Christian Catholics in the soccer stadium in Rome, and he had some wonderful things to say about it, and just I want to tell you a couple of them. He said, I have been asked to tell the renewal what the Pope expects from you. The first thing is conversion to the love of Jesus, which changes life and makes the Christian a witness of the love of God. And then he says, I expect from you that you share with all in the church the grace of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the expression that is read of in the Acts of the Apostles. And then he says, I expect from you an evangelization with the word of God, which proclaims that Jesus is alive and loves all men. And then this is the point that I want to emphasize. And the Pope said, I expect that you give witness of spiritual ecumenism with all those brothers and sisters of other churches and Christian communities who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. I think he might have added, and also celebrate the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is for all Christians across denominations.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he says, finally, that the charismatic renewal is by its very nature ecumenical. Catholic renewal rejoices over what the Holy Spirit carries out in the other churches. And that is true. It's been true for the Catholic charismatic renewal. Patty Mansfield was pastored at her first gathering at Duquesne University by a couple of professors who received their own baptism of the Holy Spirit at the hands of a woman who was Episcopalian and who had herself been baptized in the Holy Spirit by what can be called classical Pentecostal Protestants. So the renewal movement in the Christian church has been an ecumenical movement that began, you know, in 1900, as I said, but spread across denominations in the early 1950s. It was in the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church, United Church of Christ. There's a whole wonderful history connected with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then spread to the Catholic Church in 67. So that, you know, this is an ecumenical movement, and many of us really celebrate this and love seeing the power of the Holy Spirit manifested across Christian denominations.
Amen. Yeah, let's come up on a break, and it'll be a short break here. And I'm going to play a song for you called For Your Name is Holy. It's by Jim Cowan. He was a worship leader at Steubenville, and he still ministers across the globe. And this goes like this. I worship you.
worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you, for your name is holy, holy, Lord, 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 for your name is holy.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220 The Word. That was For Your Name is Holy. That's a song by Jim Cowan, and that's one of the songs we'll most likely be singing at the Cleveland Charismatic Conference on Friday, July 18th and July 19th at Magnificat High School in Rocky River. And if you need more information on registration, you can go to crmweb.org. What happens when you don't have a guitar stand? You can go to crm.org, and you can contact Joe or Sue Palmieri, 440-774-1191. And the conference is this coming Friday and Saturday. So, you were talking about what Pope Francis was telling a delegation of people about the charismatic renewal and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Did you want to add anything to that?
Yes. He made a couple of additional points there. He, as you know, as many people know, Pope Francis has been speaking from his experience as the Cardinal of Argentina about his about the preferential option for the poor, as it's often expressed in Catholic social teaching. He says here, be close to the poor, the needy, to touch in their flesh the flesh of Jesus. Be close, please, he says, and that's a quote. Brothers and sisters, remember, adore the Lord God. This is the foundation, to adore God. Seek sanctity in the new life of the Holy Spirit. And then he issued a wonderful invitation, and I am waiting for all of you, charismatics of the world over, to celebrate with the Pope your great jubilee on the Feast of Pentecost 2017 in St. Peter's Square. He's going to host a 50th anniversary gathering of the foundation of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in 1967. It'll be 50 years in 2017, so that ought to be an amazing celebration in St. Peter's Square 3 years from now.
Mm. Wow. Sounds like a
place to be.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. You know, as we've been talking, as we've prepared for, you know, the show a little bit, sometimes there's people that have questions like, well, you know, what's going to happen to me? And, you know, and if you're feeling called to come to this conference, I would just encourage you to come and experience it, and experience the love of God that's going to be poured out. Because it's, you know, when I was away from the Lord, I was timid to come back, but God gently reached out to me over years of time and drew me back. and even helped me when I was far, far away from him. You know, I went down to Cancun and almost drowned, and I called on the name of the Lord. I was under the water, and I got plucked out of the water.
Wow.
You know.
Wonderful.
By a man with white flowing hair that was brilliant. And I think about it, he was dry. I was in the Gulf of Cancun. This guy was dry. And then I didn't see him again. Oof. And it took
really?
Seven. Yeah.
Amazing.
And it took 7 years before I would talk about that again, because when I came back, I asked this one person, I said, "Do you believe in God?" He goes, "No, I don't believe anything. I can't see." And boom, I didn't talk about it anymore. But then 7 years later, my wife and I came to the Charismatic Conference. There were some things that happened beforehand. She was healed of multiple sclerosis. And it was knowing that when you come to the Lord, He washes you clean.
He really does.
He really does.
I'm glad you mentioned, Stephen, that, you know, that Sandy was healed of multiple sclerosis for the benefit of the audience here, because one of the charismatic gifts can be given in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is a gift of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is healing people today, just as he did 2,000 years ago when he walked physically among us. He's still among us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And one thing you find in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal and in the Pentecostal Christian churches is you find active belief and practice of Christian healing prayer. And there will be Christian healing prayer mm-hmm. in the power of the Holy Spirit at this conference, where people can go back and have healing prayer teams pray with them privately, two or three people, plus the person seeking prayer. They will lay hands on, anoint with oil, and they will receive individual private prayer mm-hmm. for whatever healing they need in their lives, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, inner mm-hmm. healing. And I have seen both kinds of healing. I received inner healing personally from my life of stress, as I was describing a little bit about my trip home. Mm-hmm. I want to say very quickly that on Saturday, June 28th, just 2 weeks ago, I was present at the ordination of a Catholic priest. Now, this is a young man this was in Illinois, and he went with me to a Catholic charismatic event, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He received inner healing that day, and 10 years later, he was ordained a Catholic priest because of the anointing he received.
Praise the Lord.
So this kind of thing happens, and he received inner healing, then he received mm-hmm. anointing for a lifetime of service as a Catholic priest.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sandy was healed of MS, which is a miracle.
Right.
You know, I had my own miracle. Many people who receive the Holy Spirit have miracles of one kind or another.
And it's a miracle this show's over already. I can't believe it. Wow.
So come and see.
Well, you know, God does heal us physically, but the spiritual healing by far is the greatest gift that we've ever received from Him. That spiritual healing to be in union with Him. So, you know, God does want to heal us physically, emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically, and relationally. So I would just, as we close the show today, I would just pray, Lord, send forth your Holy Spirit upon those who are listening and those who are in their families to heal them emotionally, physically, psychologically, relationally, and spiritually, and that they would come to know the gift of salvation in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.